Check, 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 check. Check. It's working so far, anyway. I still gotta order new cables, but who gives a fuck, right? I don't. I wanna shout out last week's interview, Miami's own Verse 004. Great interview, a lot of feedback, man. A lot of feedback. I'm loving the applause on the Anchor FM app and all that good shit. That's right. It's nice to see that people listen and applaud an episode. I'm assuming it's like a like. Whatever. It's all good in my book. Yep. Yeah, all right. Let's see. This fucking thing, here we go. We're gonna start now. Right now we're gonna start. Check, check, check. All right. I hear myself. All right. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Stickify. Come on, Ryan. Give me an interview. Stop being a bitch. Or a hillbilly, as Super Dick would say. Uh-huh. That's right. Gallery 448 from Down Under, Australia. Nonstop Pins. That's right. Check him out. My pins aren't here yet, but if you'd like to pre-order, once they come within a week or so, they will be shipped out. Check out the website, www.outtocrash.com. Comes with free stickers, as always. Yep. Thanks again, Nonstop. And also, Fam561 down in FLA. Yeah, we've been getting a lot of Florida interviews. Got a few up my sleeve. Hopefully I'll get them in quick. That's right. All right. Shout out to my brother, New OTC. All right. JR, Corona's best. My brother. No other from another fucking mother. Ellen1XLK. Thanks for the support, comments, and all that good shit. Sucky Bat. Rocks Art. 5 Gallons. My brother in Germany. EK9 Spoon. Arts and Graph. Gouchism. Smut Life. Check out Smut Life. They got some smutty pictures. Good shit. Guac Tits. I still don't understand the screen name. Guac Tits. Alright, okay. I figured maybe you'd just be interested and go look at his page. Benchin Tur. God damn, I can't even read my own fucking handwriting. Benchin Terminus. There you go. I think I pronounced it right. Deal 54. My brother, Clark the Natural. The one and only Spen. CP, Crush Proof. And the crew. That's right. Queen's Best. Many writers swung through Queens. You can't touch him, man. You just can't. All right. This week, I got a good interview. More than good. Great interview coming up. I actually met him a few times. His work is fabulous. Hopefully, he answers the phone because I shot him a text that I'll be calling him soon. But we'll see. Let's see. We have STEM. YNN. This guy's a monster. With paint, with markers. Straight up monster.
Yo,
Mr. STEM. Look at that.
What's going on, man? How are you?
Same old. I'm good. How's everything with you? It's been a minute.
Always good, man. Always.
I hear you. You know, I've been wanting to reach out to you a lot sooner, but, you know, shit happens. And ran into you a few times. Your work is phenomenal.
Thank you.
What's the deal with all these cartoons? Not cartoons. I guess they're cartoons. Do you work for like Marvel or some shit like that?
Nah, it's just that when I was growing up, like when I was 8, 9 years old, I used to be into Marvel a lot. And I used to draw from the Secret Wars and all that other stuff. And that's what taught me to get to where I'm at today. I taught myself how to do all of that. I never went to art school, none of that shit. I'm just born like that. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like a mutant. I kind of was like that. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, and, believe me, I know what you're saying. I mean, I seen right. your work. I see your posts.
Right.
And besides the Marvel, you know, designer markers and whatnot, your paint game is fucking phenomenal. Clean.
Thank you.
Seems like you take your time. It's just straight up crisp. Fucking freights are gorgeous. You know, those white hoppers, I mean, listen, I love white hoppers. The paint is nice on there compared to a box car. But your work is just stunning. Straight up, top to bottom, inside out, the whole nine yards. It's hats off to you. And how long have you been doing this? Tell us a little something about yourself. Where are you from?
Well, I'm from Brooklyn, Flatbush.
All right.
And yes, I've been doing this for like going on what, 34 years?
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
Like long time, man. Like I was doing it to like what? So like, well, of course, when I started, my shit was garbage. I was just like a good artist, but it took me to like probably like 1989 to get really good. And that's when I first did my piece, and I just kept going. And then later on, I hooked up with TK. Then I hooked up with my boy Bars. And then later on, going on, I started hooking up with a lot of writers. And basically, I started hooking up with a lot of writers because it's like I could do stuff that they couldn't do. Like, I could draw really good, so they needed me around. So that's how I just gained, like, more popularity and just, you know, hanging with a lot of heads and stuff like that.
Well,
you know,
I mean, your page speaks for itself. I mean, check them out. Silk Eyelashes. It's just... You know, like I said before, your artwork is just stunning. I mean, it's like, how the hell does he make shit pop the way he makes it pop? The colors seem, sometimes it looks so fucking fake that it's like,
right.
You know, is this a fucking computer image? But then again, right. It's not because you see the book. You know, the book is right there, plain sight.
Right.
Same with the painting on you know, on the walls on the hoppers, freights.
It got to a point where I was posting some of my pics, and I had to tell people that this is not a black book. Like this is a wall. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it got to that point because I mastered how to do realism and all of that stuff just by just being home and just drawing and seeing past what the color is, like how it was made. You know what I'm saying? I used to also make colors because I still got my mixing straws in the crib.
Nice.
So I used to make colors and stuff like that. So it's like I take it further to like, you know, with the colors and stuff like that. Kind of like, you know, how you see Spider-Man, but on the low, he's a scientist. That's mm-hmm. how I am with everything. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I hear you. Great approach. Mm-hmm. Great approach.
Yeah.
But it's really fabulous work. I mean, I've been wanting to get you on. I mean, you know, time passes too fucking quick. So
right.
I was scrolling through Instagram, and once again, your page pops up, and I'm like, shit. You know, I really need to get him on. And I believe I DM'd you right after I liked the picture. And I was like, you know what? It's not going to hurt to ask. I know you're good people. I know some of your people. You know, everybody has a different outlook at things. Me, you know, I'm a nobody. You know, I like doing what everybody else likes to do. But when I see a talent like yours, sometimes I get a little, what's the word I'm looking for? In other words, I'm like, should I really reach out to this guy? This guy's really, you know, he's really out there with his work. I mean, is he actually going to sit down and give me the time of day for an interview?
Right.
Intimidated is more like it. You know, because, look, you know, I got to say, I love all my interviews. You know, I've had interviews where I thought was far and beyond reach. I got them.
Right.
I work on it. You know, I tried to schedule in advance. Sometimes I slack off because I got, you know, a couple of months lined up. Then there's times that I actually bump people to get another one on because I feel that it's the right time. You know, so
right.
I juggle, you know, between life, work, and fucking bills and taxes, you know, I need to take my time to do what I like to do with this podcast.
Right.
And like I said, having you on is an honor. And, you know, what else more could I say? I mean, how's the freight game? I mean, do you have lookouts? Do you have people, you know, guarding the area? Because seriously, your work seems like it takes time. I mean, we all know there's a quickness to the game and the technique, but at the same time, it's so precise, cut
right.
beautifully, blends are on point. What's it like? I mean, explain a night or a day rolling up to a hopper with the bag, the boys. Give us a little story.
Well, most likely with the Well, anything that I do is always pre-planned. Like, it's planned like a month ahead, always. So it's like whatever schedule I put up, I already did like 4 or 5 times at home because I keep messing around with it, find different things I could do with it. So when I get there, I pretty much drop the piece first, and then I'll work on the character because the character usually will take me like 10 minutes. And then
wow.
After that, I would just do everything with a fat cap so I could finish faster. Because it's like I like to do like 2 or 3 pieces in one day where I don't feel satisfied.
I know that.
You know?
One.
Right. So, yeah, basically I do everything with a fat cap. And everything is premeditated and pre-planned. So when I get there, I'm not twiddling my thumbs and I know what I have to do. As soon as I get there, I go straight to it and then start. You know, and I'm done probably like in an hour or an
nice.
Hour 45 minutes. Or I'll probably do 2 sketches, have somebody fill in, do my other piece, come back, outline, go back, help them with theirs, and we out. It's like a team thing, you know?
There you go.
Yeah. Kind of like Mario Brothers. So that's how I get it done.
All right. That's a good way of putting it. I mean, like
yeah.
I said, you know, that's... You know, everyone has their own outlook, the way they do things, their plans, so on and so forth. Me, personally, I never went with a sketch. I mean, I don't do characters, but even with the letters, it all depends on how my arm feels that day, how it drops. Do I do a lowercase a? Do I do a capital A? What colors do I use? Because I normally throw colors in a bag. But
right.
your final finished product speaks for itself. Plan or no plan, you know, they just pop. You know, I understand that I need to do the 3 thing or else I'm not satisfied. We used to pick a Sunday. We had a separate spot on a Sunday. You could go 5, 6 in the morning and, you know, you wanted to be out before lunch, you know.
Right.
And we would do minimum 6 to 10 cars. You know, there were times we rolled in with 2, 3 duffel bags loaded with paint. And my motto is, if I'm going in with paint, I'm leaving with none. Because I don't like carrying anything. Other than the fact that we bag them, you know, and then we, you know, we trash them. But full paint, never leave with full paint. So,
right.
You know, everybody has their own game plan. You know, yours is down to a science, obviously. I mean, you know, it's great that you actually have the time to play with it 4 or 5 times, and I'm sure it just comes out with a natural flow, planned or not. I mean, you could see the can control is there. The fat cap thing is a blessing in disguise when you want to get done quicker, because there's been plenty of times that, you know, you grab the caps thinking you got everything. You go up there and all you got is a fucking stock cap. Now, me personally, my favorite stock cap is the Montana Blacks because they spray pretty thick. So
right.
if I got Montana Blacks, I'm in business. If I forget and I got something else, I'm screwed. do you have a preference in paint, or do you just use whatever you get your hands on?
Well, I used to use Ironlac because it was cheap, whatever. But now I stopped using them. I use like Montana Black,
right.
And I make sure anytime I do characters from now on, I use only flat black from now on.
Right.
So I could get like a better flow. I stopped using the gloss black for characters.
Well, the gloss black is tricky because, you know, one slight move in the wrong direction and it looks too wet, yeah, in my opinion.
Well, what it is, this is what I learned. The glossier the paint, the faster you got to move. That's how it is.
Right.
The more glossy the paint is, the faster your feet got to be when you're painting.
Okay.
So you don't get no drips or anything like that. You
That's
know?
A good tip.
Yeah. So everything is better sometimes to use dry paint, you know, either flat black or semi-flat.
Right. I like the flats as well. I love the flats, actually. I mean, because, you know, they dry nice. You know, I got to say, my one of my favorite flat paints is actually a primer, the All Kills. I think that white cover is great. Other than, you know, all paints are good to a certain extent, depending on how you use them. But on occasion, I get this Rebar Green, right? It looks sort of like a pea soup green, and I stumbled upon it working, and basically it's called Rebar Green for a reason. You know, the steel rods underneath the concrete, you know, when you cut them, they gotta be, the tips gotta be sprayed, so this way here, when concrete's set, you know, after years, you know, if you notice sidewalks sometimes got rust spots, that's because the rebar probably wasn't painted. So, I used it one time on a freight, and I forgot what fat cap I used on it. And this shit sprayed so great. I was saying to myself, well, if this thing could hold up in, you know, concrete, water, snow, salt, and all that shit, it's got to be good on a fucking freight. So,
right.
You know, many a times I see some bencher posting a freight, one of the green ones, and I'm like, damn, that shit's still fucking running and it looks fresh. So, other than All Kills and Rebar Green, I love my Montana. So,
right.
Back in the day, I was a Krylon guy. Now I collect Rustos, but I didn't use Rustos that much.
Right.
Do you collect paints or anything like that?
Yeah, I got a mauve. I got a jungle green that Webb gave me. I got epoxy.
Epoxy's good.
Yeah, I got
good.
Like a pastel yellow. I think I got the ultra flat black that smells like cherry when you spray it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got a few of those just in the fridge.
I remember a ways back. I do believe it was you. You had bins and bins full of paint. Was that your post?
Yeah, I did. I put it up in my story.
There you go.
I had a whole bunch of old paint, a whole bunch of old Krylons, American accents, and then I had a whole bunch of Deltan when
yeah.
they first came to the country. I had those two when I was showing them off.
Deltan has a nice color palette, I got to say.
Right, yeah, they do.
And a lot of weird colors, too. That I would never, you know, personally say I'm going to do this color, but, you know, when you get your hands on shit, I guess you use it. But, you know, at one point we were looking at, you know, palettes of paint, you know, just order a couple of these, a couple of those, and before you know it, you had a full palette, splitting it up with two, three guys. You know, the stock is always good. I mean, I slowed down, but I got a nice garage full, you know. I mean, to me, having paint is always a good thing. You know, a bag in the trunk is a great thing. You know, I even go to the extent of, you know, one of my motorcycles has saddlebags. You know, I got one bag full of paint over there as well. You never know. But the game itself, from yesterday to today, what do you see different from the past to the present?
Well, now I see like a lot of people using the computers for help to make pieces. I see that.
Right. Do you agree with that?
No.
Okay, because I like a DJ. Once I used to DJ, right? I used to use my Technique 1200s. Once the CDs came into effect, I thought it was fake.
Yeah, it was over.
Today?
Yeah, that shit was over.
Today is horrible because you got people walking in with a laptop, no crates of records, plugging in, and they call themselves a DJ. So to me, that's fake, and it's not real. To me, it's not real. So with the computer-generated stuff, I mean, I see videos, you know, guys, you know, flaring tags, and it looks great. But I'm not a fan of it. I mean, not because I'm old school. I just don't see, you know, the advantage of it. You know, a piece of paper with a pencil or a flare marker or whatever it is that you use, that to me is fun. That's what it's about.
Right, right. I mean, it'll be good just to play around with it, like if you're doing a logo for somebody, but to use it to do your piece on the wall, I don't know. I feel kind of funny about that.
I agree. I mean, for graphic designers, you know, like my man Indicut New York, he does his thing on computers. Great shit. You know, phenomenal. You know, they bring the stickers to life. Then you got Ryan over at Stickified that lays them up for you. Beautiful. I get it. Everybody gets a piece of the action. It's good, you know. But for me to spend time on a computer, nah, man, you know, I take a black book or a piece of paper or computer paper, whatever, and I just like to, you know, sketch on there, play with letters on that.
Yeah.
You know, me. I think that when you stick to the basic, that's what brings you better quality, more perspective of what you're actually doing. Because at the same time, if you think about it, a spray can is just like a pencil with an eraser. You know what I'm saying? You fuck up a line, you cut back into it. You know, if you want it wider, you just go back over it. You know, you could clean your shit up. But I don't know what you do on the freights. I don't even know if you even bother cleaning up because everything just looks so clean.
Right.
You know?
Well, I cut up, like, I treat a freight like a wall. And it's like, I don't know. I just treat it just like if it's a wall or if it's like a black book. I treat everything like a black book. That's why everything comes out the way it comes out. You know? So I just treat once you just hypnotize yourself into thinking everything is a black book, everything will just come out the way you want it, you know? That's what I do.
Well, that's good. That's words of wisdom right there. Is there any other artist or graffiti writer that you actually look up to, you know, that gives you more thrive and strive to push? And Do you get like that competitive mindset sometimes when you see something and you just want to get at your own thing and just make it its best every single time?
Well, probably I like the special effects that like European artists use, or sometimes I'll look at old spray can art. With stuff that Volcan did.
Right.
Sometimes that would get me hype, and, you know, I would just go and do my thing. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just like, it's giving me like more energy, you know?
Absolutely.
Like, stuff like that.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I mean, shit, there's times that, you know, you see something that you haven't seen in years, either in a magazine or off of one of your old photo albums, and it's like, shit, man, you know. If you incorporate this with that and, you know, change this up a little here and there, you know, what do you get? And then you start fucking around. I mean, the letter game, I gotta say, today there's many, many, many people out there that got their game on. You know, it's just, you know, the time that you put into it and you just get back. But... from way back in the day, you know, I still credit Dondi, Seen, Dusta, guys that really didn't have what's available today paint-wise. And excuse me. Shit, Seen is still killing it today. But can you imagine what he would have produced back then with the technology of paint today? Yep. It's phenomenal. And, you know, the history of graffiti itself is just fabulous. And it's amazing how it just keeps going in a domino effect where people just, you know, latch on to stories and do their homework and research, you know, about the old school writers. And for that's what I'm grateful for. I'm grateful for all of that. And one of the main reasons why I do what I do, I like documenting the story, you know.
Right.
Will I ever be rich and famous? Hell no. Not doing this, but, you know, this is like a payday in itself, each interview. It's a great thing to be able to talk to a lot of people. Like I said, you know, we ran into each other a few times, but, you know, when you do an interview with someone from another country or out of state, it's something that we never could have done back then. I mean, you know, like the writer's bench was the writer's bench. You were from the Bronx or the boroughs. You know, you had an obstacle to get there besides the point. But it was basically the borough people. You know, now with this, you know, people are going to be listening to you in Canada. You know, they're going to hear you over in Japan and shit. When I go through my stats and I see all the pings of where the listeners are coming from, I'm fucking amazed. So me, I like to glorify the show, you know, by just stating that. And it's a great thing. You know, you never know what could come from it. But the stories, the knowledge that each and every one speaks is just a part of history. Now, you've been doing it 30 plus years. You know, 30 plus years to the new people in the game. You know, are they going to last as long as we did? Shit, I'm going on 1980, we're looking at 40 years, 39 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did you ever think that it would last this long, even though you had the love and the passion for the art?
Yeah, I never knew it was going to go this long. But it's like, there's always artists out there that are inspired by other artists. And there's even artists that wasn't even into graffiti, but I guess they was drawing and nobody was paying attention to them, and they forced themselves to do graffiti so people could start seeing their stuff.
Uh-huh.
They started seeing that people started noticing them. It was like, now I know how to get people to look at my art. I'm going to start doing graffiti. And they start getting on the internet, they start looking at magazines, and slowly but surely, they'll come up. You know what I'm saying?
Your website. Yeah. How's your website doing? You have to have a website. Am I mistaken?
Nah, my thing is just my website. For me is just my Instagram. You need me? You need to buy something? You need to buy some prints? I'm right there. So that way, on a website, I can't really talk to you. On my Instagram, I could talk to you. DM me. I say what's up. How many artists? They had their heads so far up their ass, you can't even talk to them. Huh. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if you need me, I could talk to you.
Well
like,
said.
What you want. Yeah, you want to buy something, let me know. If not, you just wanted to say what's up, I'm like, what up? All right, peace. And that's it. You can move it.
Well, that's a great thing. That's a great thing. Right. I mean, your works, I mean, what was that place on Queens Boulevard? Shit. Oh, goddamn. I was there, what, 2 years straight? Fuck. Do you remember what I'm talking about? Where I'm talking about? That, oh, man. Jesus Christ. If this guy's listening in, he's going to probably call me up and say, you're a fucking asshole. Anyway, there was an event over on Queens Boulevard. I think they just changed up the location last year or so to Astoria. And you were there. You were at the table. You were pretty much talking with everybody that came by.
You're talking about It's something that this dude Jamie doing, and then you sell stuff there.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Fuck, man. You can't remember the name either. I guess he's going to hate both of us, but.
I can't remember.
Shit,
now.
Man. Something Street. Bah. Anyway. That's kind of fucked up. I can't remember it now. Shit, I sponsored the show too. But life is just fucked up sometimes. I guess the older you get, the worse you get. But
right.
I remember seeing your prints. I remember seeing people walking around the show with your prints.
Right.
And I was like, wow, you know, it's got to be a great feeling. Because me, personally, I sell a canvas and I love it. I think it's the greatest thing that someone actually wants, you know, something that you did. And to see, you know, other people walking around investing in a collection, it's just great. Because me, I never thought I'd sell a canvas in my life. You know, then you got the guys with the, like you said, quote, heads up their ass, you know, selling canvases for a shitload of money. Now, I get it. You know, collectors that got money, they want to spend the money, great. Me, as a graffiti person, I can't see myself spending a couple of $1,000 on a canvas.
Nah. Well, I see it like this. For the people that are selling their stuff for $1,000, they got to ask themselves. They think like, yeah, I'm that dude. You're going to buy this because I hit like 55 trains. That's cool. But if I buy your shit for $1,000 and I get into hard times, can I sell it back for $1,000? You know what I'm saying? Whatever you did in the past, it's like, that's not going to really help me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like, can I get it back for that? Like, mostly, if I buy something from somebody, it's because I like their work. But you can't sell me something because you like, yo, I was that dude, so you have to pay this money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I got you.
If you put time into it and it took you like a year to do and it looks like that, then I understand. But this is some shit you just scribbled up, and I'm an artist too. I know when somebody takes time to do shit, and I know when somebody did something like in 2 to 3 hours.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Absolutely.
So I guess that price is for the art collectors. If you're selling graph to another fellow graffiti artist, you shouldn't even be doing that. You know?
But you know what? I kind of agree with you on that one. I do.
Right.
I do. Oh, that's my dog. She wants to do a couple of shout-outs. Get out of here. I don't know if you heard her barking, but she pierces my ears every fucking time. But, I agree. I really do agree with that because, you know, sometimes, you know, people are like, yo, why do you sell your canvas so cheap? And my response is, I'm humble. That someone actually would pay for it. I don't want to rob anybody because, hey, listen, everybody's been through their ups and downs. The economy sucks. Work is hard to find. You know,
rent is going up.
Yeah, rents, mortgages, interest rates. You name it. Everything goes up, but the salary, the hourly rate is always the same shit. You know, it's like, come on. I remember when I was a kid, I'm going to shoot a number from the hip. Minimum wage, $5, $5.25, whatever the fuck it was. To be honest with you, I think minimum wage now is, $12? $10?
It's 15 now.
It's 15.
For some people, it's $10.
Okay, now, how many years ago were people getting paid $5 an hour? Today, where the minimum wage is the $15 an hour. You understand my point? It's like everything surpasses the max. But do you ever hear one person saying, yo, I work at fucking Whole Foods and I make $400 an hour? You'll never hear that.
Right. No.
You know?
No.
But they want to bang you over the head for an apartment in fucking Williamsburg. For probably the size of my garage, they want $4,000 to $5,000. Like,
yeah, because I think now it's about you're not paying for the style of the apartment, you're paying for the location. And if you live by the train station, I'm really going to charge you for this apartment.
Absolutely.
You
know? Absolutely. So shit. I know what that's all about.
The wrong way.
I know what that's about, because you know what? Public transportation, now you don't need a, you really don't need a car. Okay, exactly. You don't have to worry about getting an apartment with the garage where the location parking sucks. So that's how they screw you over. Now, could you ever imagine an apartment in Williamsburg? Come on, I mean, you stated that 30 plus years in the Grav game, so you know what Williamsburg once was to what it is today.
Yeah.
I wouldn't take an apartment in Williamsburg for a fucking dollar a month.
Right.
Back in the day. And yeah, look,
Williamsburg, it was all about factories. It was just mad factories, tin foil all over the place. We used to bomb the foil that was up, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, so what strikes me amazing, I don't know how it is around the country and the world, but just think about it. All your bad neighborhoods, right? Let's just say in Brooklyn alone. Bad right. neighborhoods, people getting shot, prostitution, drugs right in front of your face, stolen cars, broken windows because they bagged your fucking system, all that shit, right? Neighborhoods that right. people used to literally be scared to go into, right? Forget about bombing a different neighborhood where you didn't belong. We were always on that ghost shit where you were in and out. So, you know, the consequences were always there because of what you were doing. But, you know, how is it that all these bad neighborhoods that were, you know, bad at one point in time are now being flipped? Real estate is through the fucking roof.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, is that a game plan? Because you ever stop to think how Red Hook was nasty, you know, bad, and now, it, you know, people are going through it like a tourist fucking area. Long Island right. City, the same shit. Long Island City is now your Manhattan on the Queens side. Mm-hmm. Rents are going up there as well. And
yeah.
it's just... I think it's a game plan where they let people ruin a neighborhood, drive prices down, and then your rich folk that have no idea about real life, you know, money was shoved up their ass when they were born, and now they piss it out their mouth, you know, that type of shit. These people are buying up shit, and what's going to happen in the next 20 years? Are people going to be forced to move out of New York? Because New York now is hard. I mean, shit, Frank Sinatra got it good back then. You know, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. But damn, man, I remember making $100 a week and I thought I was rich. Now $100 a week, you're lucky. $100 in your pocket, I should say. $100 in your pocket don't go very far. You know,
so how it is, if you live in New York, you have to have two paychecks, man. That's what it is now. It's like the higher the rent gets, the more paychecks you got to get.
Yeah.
Like I got me an apartment, but it's like, thankfully, I'm skilled enough to sell my artwork
mm-hmm.
and get a paycheck and combine that to pay my rent, you know?
There you go.
It's like you need two paychecks to live in New York. That's what it is.
Yeah.
You know? And I live by myself. So I have to be drawing every single day to sell shit. So you can imagine. Every minute I'm drawing. And that means if I'm drawing every minute, I'm drawing every day. And I draw twice a day, every day, Monday through Sunday. I'm teaching myself every single day how to draw for free.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm coming up with shit all the time, every month.
Listen,
sell shit, you know?
you have a great plan, a great outlook. You know, more people should think like yourself, because you know what I don't like? The lazy fucking people that just don't want to work. You know, God gave you two fucking legs, two arms, two eyes, a fucking head. You know, use it and take advantage of it. You know, people like you, like myself, dude, I know what it's like to struggle. Shit, I got four kids. I don't know how the hell I'm still swimming. You know, it's hard. It's not easy. So, you know, planning for the future today, you can't plan for the future like you were able to in 1970, 1980, 1990, 2000. Now, you know, 2020... is just going to be harder than it is today. And we're what? Right. A few months away. And every year it seems to me that life just gets fucking more and more difficult. I mean, to breathe is crazy. You know? And you know, look, you put in your work. You do what you do. You know, I'm proud to hear you say that I'm able to combine my art with my paycheck. That's great. You know how many people out there do struggle, especially the artists that, you know what I always thought was fucked up? I mean, hear me out on this one. Tell me what you think. An artist struggles day in, day out, stubborn, doesn't want to get a regular job, goes to the shows, goes to other people's events to see what's going on, calls this one, calls that one, gets somebody to represent his work here, there, everywhere. Guy does this for fucking 20 years. People still wonder how the hell he got by, you know, whether it was family, an aunt, an uncle, or whomever. The fucking person dies. And now his fucking artwork is selling for hundreds of thousands of dollars. To me, that's fucking bullshit.
Basquiat.
Yeah.
Basquiat.
Come on, man. What do you feel about that? Seriously.
That's trash, yo. Because that sounds like that would be a story for us. I don't know, I passed. And people get a hold of my 40 black books, it's a wrap.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
You do understand what I'm saying, though, because not everyone is as fortunate. You got to admit that.
Right.
You know, it's just, to me, it don't make sense. It's like a life insurance policy, right? You have a life insurance policy, your girlfriend, your wife, your brother, somebody, they fucking kill you to get a fucking $1 million, right?
Right.
Shouldn't we be rewarded when we're alive?
Exactly.
You know, but to me, it seems like we're punished every day. You know, they talk about heaven and hell. Okay, you believe in it, you don't believe in it, you know, whatever. Whatever it may be. But me personally, I think life on earth is the hell part. You know, it's just insane. It's just insane.
Yeah.
Now, were you
making money.
Right. Now, were you that rebellious hoodlum graffiti writer like how we've been labeled from young?
Uh-huh.
Are you?
And rebellious in what way?
Well, you know how they always say, you know, graffiti writers, they're rebellious, they're lashing out at their family and you know, all that hoopla shit that they always talk about. Every once in a while I like bringing it up. Me personally, I didn't come from a fucked up family. I just wanted to paint, you know?
Yeah, that's it.
And
my thing is, I just wanted people to see my work. You know what I'm saying? That I started off this drawing, and when I got my name, I was like, yo, I got to put my stuff out there because I'm seeing everybody else's stuff out there. And my goal was just to come out and be seen, be heard, because there was no internet back then, so you had to go out there.
No, there wasn't.
You know, so the internet was somebody coming up to me like, yo, that's you? I saw you over here. That was the internet.
Yeah.
You know, so basically, my thing was just to come out, to get out, to keep hearing that over and over again. Like, they see my stuff, they want to hook up, and I get with another band of artists that feel the way I do, and we start going, you know, and we make like an underground thing where we just do stuff, you know?
Did you ever think of, you know, getting... I'm not sure of what exactly, but in argument's sake, you know, like a book, an illustration book, a how-to draw book, how-to paint book. You got the knowledge, you got the game tight. Did you ever consider bringing out a book? You know, graffiti for Dummies 101, something to that effect. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, I did a comic book where I did like 126 pages, and I just got like a few pages to do, and I'm going to try to put it out, but I never thought about doing a how-to book.
You know, why not? Why not? Listen, I'm listening to you, right? We're going on, I don't know how many minutes we're into the interview. But I'm listening to the way your game goes, and you're out there. You know, you got everything pretty much down packed in your mind. You know you need to do certain things per day. You need to sell X amount of art, you know, combined with a check, and you know what your check time is, you know, probably 40 hours a week, like everybody else. Shit, why don't you just fucking come out with a fucking how-to book? I mean, I'm not trying to say, you know, shame on you didn't think of it, but in my opinion, I mean, I think I'm allowed to give a little advice.
Right.
Shit, dude. Seriously, the way you draw, you should be working for fucking Marvel. You know, you should be making a fat fucking check, working for fucking some fucking industry like that. And you know what? Maybe in the future it'll come. You never know. But
yeah, these things, they take time.
Yeah, they do. They do.
You know, there has to be somebody that's not doing the same thing you're doing, because somebody that's doing the same thing you're doing, if you're doing it better than them, they're not going to hook you up.
Of course not.
They're going to take whatever they have. So
yeah.
That's why it takes longer. That's why it takes longer for me
to
get to where I'd be at. I got to do that shit myself. You know?
Well, hey, you know what? I hope you take it into consideration and do try working on something to that event, effect, actually. Because I wouldn't see that being a failure in any way possible. Because number one, you're teaching yourself. You're getting out there trying to accomplish a book. And I'm sure people that would sit down to see what you do, your portfolio, so to speak, I'm sure there'll be people that would be interested in it. I mean, it's, you know, not that it's a no-brainer, but because I know you have your schedule, so to speak, like a robot, you know, because we have this routine that we go through in and out like fucking religion, you know, sometimes a wrench in the fucking spoke, you know, just to get that glitch. I really think you should put that on the side burner and really think about it, because I think you would be successful at that. Seriously, I really do. I know nothing about books. I had a truck book done, but truck book and a book on how to. I think you would master that shit. You know.
Right.
I mean, from my mouth to your ears and whoever's listening, you know.
Right.
I think they would agree with me on that. And shit, maybe you should talk it over with your people. You know.
Well,
just to see.
Sounds like something I'll take into consideration. Sounds like a plan.
Well, I hope I get the first one autographed. I'll pay for it.
No.
You know? But, yeah, man, I see you have a great head on your shoulders when it comes to that. And I would like to see a lot more from you in that aspect, because, like I said, we spoke minutes. We've seen each other a couple of times, even at that event. I got to ask my wife. Hey, hon, Queens Boulevard, Jamie's event that we sponsored 2-3 years, whatever it was. What was the name of that show?
Okay.
Street Art Expo.
Street Art Expo.
Shit. Yeah, see, me and you at the same time. My wife was ready to say it. Jamie, shout out to Jamie. But, yeah, there you go. You know, now that I actually got a few minutes talking with you, can you just imagine people that got your back, that you've known for very, very long, business-wise, friendship-wise, family-wise? I really think you would have a whole lot of fucking support on a project like that. And if you do step into that direction, please keep me posted. And I'll be the first one to shout you out and direct people to your Instagram page. Because, look, I've seen a lot of black book artists, and I got to say, there's a lot of nice fucking guys out there. But you know, you, STEM, are very, very talented, and I see people being intimidated, just like I was intimidated to reach out to you for an interview, because I think your work really speaks for itself. I really think you should dive into this shit one day, keep doing exactly what you're doing today, you know, tomorrow, and in the future, you know, because I also sense that you do get a lot of help, respect, so in other words, from many people. You know, you got my respect, and I could say, yeah, he's my boy, I know him. No, well, I know you to an extent because of Instagram, and that's it. But I would actually put my name out there to help you come along with a project like that. I never been so pushy in something like that with anybody. I always like giving advice. You know, just like I like getting advice. I like the bad talk and all that shit. You know, I get it. I love it. But, you know, when you got people like your crew, the people behind you, you know, and I'm sure you're going to shout them out at the end of the show. You know, they're good people. They're good people. And, you know, it's kind of hard to have good people, especially when you got a lot of two-faced people out there, a lot of backstabbers, people that'll cut your fucking throat to get a dollar out of your pocket. So, you know... I like saying it. It is what it is, but sometimes it is what it isn't.
Right.
What do you have? What do you have in the future? What's in store? What are we going to see more of? Black books.
Well, in the future, like more. Probably definitely more sprays with characters on it. More technical work on them. And basically, probably like, yeah, the comic books that I did, like, they're going to come out. More of them are going to come out from me. And, and just more higher quality work that looked like Photoshop, but was done by hand.
Well, shit, your Instagram page speaks for itself. I mean, you said it yourself. People, you know, you have to tell people, listen, this isn't computer generated. You know, this is hand done.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But I'm looking forward to the freight thing too. I mean, you know, you can't get enough of freights, and to see progress, you know, day in and day out. And I gotta say, you're up in that top 5% of crispy clean. You know, I gotta say, I never really saw a flaw on anything you put up on Instagram. I mean, everybody likes to put the best shit up on Instagram. You could take two pictures of the same thing. One picture looks like shit, the other one looks better. But, you know, in your case, it's grade A material by paint, marker, designer, whatever, OPEC, whatever markers that it is that you do use. Do you do airbrushing as well?
I do everything. I do airbrush, oil, acrylic, markers, watercolor, Play-Doh. Everything.
Play-Doh?
Yeah, and Legos.
Legos? All right, explain the Legos, because I don't think I've seen anything with Legos.
With Legos, I built stuff, because I used to buy a lot of Legos for my son when he was younger.
Right.
And he wasn't playing with them at all. He was playing with them for like 2 days and stopped.
Yeah, like every kid.
All the Legos that he got left back, I built stuff with.
Holy shit. Did you ever go to Legoland?
Yeah, I went to stuff like that before with him, and the Eminem place and all of that stuff like that.
Huh, that's cool.
And I seen stuff that was there, yeah. And then I go to museums and stuff like that just to look at other people's stuff, see what's selling, what's in, you know what I'm saying? Little stuff like that.
Right.
What's out there, you know? That I'm heavily into, like, the Anunnaki shit, all that other stuff, the Pharisee shit. I'm in all of that stuff. So it's slowly you can see that into my work. That's by the way my stuff looks. And I'm into a lot of stuff like that, you know?
I got another question. So, you ever think of doing one of your original characters in, like, one of those little...
One second.
Yeah.
Hold on for 1 second.
Yeah. this is actually pretty cool because it seems like he's walking in and out of hallways, probably going to the store, and he still got the time to talk. He seems like a very busy person, to be honest with you. And this is the first time I got put on hold on my own show. That's pretty fucking cool. But yeah, everybody needs to check out his page, Silk Eyelashes, on Instagram. He goes by Stem, YNN. And just listen, you see his page, follow him if you're not already. He's got a large following, very humble person. And yeah, you know, when I reached out to him for the interview, I got to say within 5 minutes, I got a response, sent him my number. He shot me a text and, you know, set the time. And everything pretty much fell into play. And, you know, not much more to say on that part. But, you know, sometimes I look at his stuff and you don't know if it's airbrush or not. That's why I asked him, do you airbrush? Because some of his work really looks phenomenal. It looks like liquidy, old school designer markers with the crispiness of an airbrush. And I'm sure there's many people out there that like doing that. I've attempted airbrushing, but it's not my thing. You know, I'm just a regular guy. I like spray paint. Designer markers, I had my collection. I sold quite a few on my website as well. You know, great markers. I should have kept I should have kept them for the collection. But, you know, if you're not using it, I always say, you know, pass it to somebody that's going to appreciate it a lot more than yourself. Hopefully everything's all right on his part. I don't think we got disconnected. Let's see. Well, clock's still rolling, so he probably got an important phone call. But to each and every one of you out there that listens to the Alski Show, be sure to download Anchor FM, the Alski Show. Subscribe, get notifications every Sunday. Shows go up every Sunday. Early, late, whatever, it's up on a Sunday. Check out my P.O. Box 676 if you want to donate anything or have something given away, passed along, whatever the case may be. You know, get at me, shoot me a DM, say, listen, I'm going to send something out. You know, I'd appreciate if you could give this away or whatever the case may be. Sticker packs are always welcome. You know, every sale on my website, you know, I try to include every possible combination of stickers from different artists just to, you know, spread the love, so to speak. Shit, I hope he gets back on the phone. I'd like him to get to his shout-outs. But, hey, you know, we're real talk. We're raw and uncut. I can't cut the poor guy off because I'm sure whatever he's attending to is important. Shit, man, I should have a fucking live number, even though the show won't be live because it's always posted on a Sunday, but...
Hello?
Yeah, hello? All right, you made it back.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, not at all. Actually, I was saying, wow, this is the first time I got put on hold, and I'm sure it's something important.
Yeah, man, I'm still here.
Well, that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well...
Yeah, but, yeah, basically, having more detailed work, basically, and yeah, for 2020, I'm really going to turn it up more. So you're going to see like a lot of more pieces, a lot of more detailed work. You know, I've been working on a lot of stuff, creating a lot of new things,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to put it out next year.
Good.
Instead of right now, you know. So I'm just going to watch everybody do what they got to do, and then next year I'm going to just jump out.
Well, like I said, you got my number. I mean, you could always shoot me the DM. You got anything in the works that you need promoted or you want me to send people your way just to hit that page real quick to pick up what you got? You let me know. Now, that's what I like
definitely.
To do. You know, and
okay.
I really appreciate your time. I know you're a busy definitely. Guy. I was saying that when you listen to the playback. it seems like you're actually moving along place to place with a busy schedule, and you actually have the time to be on the interview. I found that pretty cool because, listen, time is money. And, you know, the fact that, you know, you picked up the phone, we got this nice interview in, you know, to me that's great, and I really do appreciate what you do for the culture. I appreciate you, you know, being who you are, and I'm sure you have, like I said before, I'm sure you have a lot of people that are waiting to see bigger and better things as time goes, and I'm sure you're going to accomplish that very, very easily.
Right.
I can't say easily because everybody, you know what it's like to put in the work. And
right.
But, you know, to simplify it, you got good things coming to you. You deserve it. You deserve
Thank
it.
Thank you.
And
Thank you.
I can't say it any better than that. And
no doubt.
You got any shout-outs, man? Because I'm sure you got a shitload. And I would love to hear the shout-outs myself.
Yeah, it's probably too many to shout out, but basically I just like to shout out the whole YNN Ink Masters, YNN crew, mm-hmm. Hashtag YNN Ink Masters, you know, yeah, J-Lo, Bias,
Good
Niso, Auto, the whole CM Fandaland, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, basically, that's basically it. And anybody that fucks with me, they already know what it is.
Well,
you know?
I gotta say, you mentioned quite a few heads over there, and I gotta say, Niso, a motherfucker's nice. I randomly take pictures of his shit, and I text it to him, and he responds, oh, good looks. But
yes, sir.
I did reach out to him, I did interview him a few years back. And I got to get him back on the show. J-Lo I had on the show, a funny motherfucker, as real as they get. And the rest of the guys, the rest of the family, you know, Hal Crew, CN, Ink Masters.
Also, my boys from Canada, my boy Scam and my boy Slon, they're killing it out there. I got YNN out there in Canada. Also, YNN is out there, you know.
Yes, sir.
You know, you got to do it like that because you know your neighborhood's next, you know? That's what it is.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Swinging through the neighborhood like your neighborhood Spider-Man or some shit that, right?
No doubt.
Oh, shit. All right. Once again, to each and everyone out there, the Alski Show, my man Stem, YNN. It's been a pleasure, an honor, and we shall speak again and run into one another. Maybe one day we could actually hit a fucking nice hopper together. What do you think?
Yeah, that sounds good.
You do the characters. I'll do my own letters, but you got to do the characters. Fair enough?
No doubt.
All right.
I'm with
it. All right, brother. You have a great night, and thank you. I will hit you up, let you know when the show goes up, and please, anything you need, hit me up. I'm here.
All right, sounds good.
All right, brother. Peace.
All right, peace.
Once again, everybody, thank you for listening to The Alski Show on Anchor FM. Download the app. It's free. Like I said, hit my P.O. box. Go to www.outtocrash.com. And remember, $10 pins. Put in your order. I will be posting pictures of the pins when they do come in. And for everyone out there that purchased pre-ordering, thank you very much for your support. It is highly appreciated. I can't say more than that. With that being said, we out like a trout, bitches. Shout out to STEM YNN and everyone else out there. Thank you.